Hi, everyone, and thanks for listening to our Guest Match conference call today. I'm Burke Allen in Washington, D.C., and Aaron Leisner also joins us, our Director of Client Services for Guest Match. And we have a very special guest we're going to talk with in just a couple of minutes. He's Will Bauer, who recently appeared on the Fox & Friends morning TV show Nationwide. And Will's going to tell you exactly how you can go after that sort of national exposure, what it takes to get on national television, and then once you get there, how to do it exceptionally well and maximize that opportunity. And for those of you who are not currently Guest Match members, we also have a special $1 trial offer for a Guest Match right now, and you can take advantage of that at guestmatch.com. It's $1 for the first 10 days. Guest Match, if you're not familiar with it, is a brand new service that we launched less than 45 days ago to help you get in front of national and local media contacts all across North America. And to date, we've contacted over 120,000 media professionals to let them know about the service. And many of our Guest Match members, even though it's in the beta test phase, are already achieving free media exposure utilizing Guest Match. It's the best deal out there right now, just $1 for the first 10 days for Guest Match. And all the details are at guestmatch.com. If you'd prefer to listen to this call online, there is a link that's available for you to do that. And, Aaron, you have the link for folks to listen to this call online.
I do. Just go to www.guestmatch.com/teleseminars/82410.php. Again, that's www.guestmatch.com/teleseminars/82410. .php.
And if you have a question, we'll have an opportunity for you to ask those a little bit later on in the call. Remember to dial star and the number 2, that's star and the number 2, to ask questions. All right, let's dive in. We want to make this a very meaty call. We should have you in and out of here in less than an hour. Today we want to really concentrate on one thing, and that's how you can generate thousands of dollars, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars, in free media exposure, as opposed to buying advertising on the air, on television or radio, or buying print ads. Our firm specializes in helping you get free exposure through the media. And today we're going to talk with Will Bauer. Now, Will and I have worked together for some time now. Will's one of our media booking specialists with Guest Match and our firm Allen Media Strategies. And in that role, Will has helped place, dozens now of our clients, authors, speakers, entertainers, and many others, on major national media outlets. Will's helped folks get onto CNN, on the Today Show, on NBC, on NBC Nightly News, on the Business Channel, CNBC, WABC Radio in New York, WOR Radio in New York, KFI, the number one news talk station in Los Angeles, the Mancow Syndicated Radio Show. I could just go on and on and on, hundreds more leading media outlets. And just last week, Will himself appeared on camera as a Fox News contributor on the Fox & Friends morning show. And this is not his first time to do so. He's done lots of national media, and that's how he came to our attention. So we're going to go behind the scenes now with Will Bauer, who joins us in our Washington, D.C. office. Hey, Will.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for sharing your time with the folks here on the call and for our prospective Guest Match clients. And we do want to let folks know that, again, if you have questions for Will, jot those down, hang on to them. You'll have a chance to ask them a bit later on. And by pressing star 2, you can sort of raise your virtual hand and ask those questions. And I believe you can also, if you're listening online, type those in as well as an instant message. So you found yourself with an opportunity to do national media last week on Fox & Friends, but this isn't the first time that you've done a national television show or national radio show. So let's go back a little bit and paint that background. Will, you came to us fresh out of a career in Hollywood as a talent booking agent, correct?
That is correct.
And when you arrived in Washington, D.C., you were very much into politics, and your very first media exposure was what?
Well, it was in June of 2008. I had spent much of 2007 and 2008 getting very much involved with the Democratic primaries and the Republican primaries as well. And if any of you remember all of the drama from back then, well, there was a lot of drama. And I got caught up in it, all of it. And little by little, I started to become known from some blog posts I had written. I had a column over at the Huffington Post that was dedicated to covering the Democratic primaries, and delegate counts and the calendar and which state went when, and Iowa, and the whole story that we all saw unfold. So that by the time Hillary Clinton suspended her campaign in June, everyone wanted to talk about it. And at that point, I had made a name for myself as someone who had been a Hillary Clinton supporter and was not very happy with the Democratic Party. So I spent basically 6 months writing about it, and after that 6 months, you know, people knew who I was and what I had to say about the matter.
How did you, and let's start with that first piece. You mentioned that you were a contributor to the Huffington Post. How did that begin? How did you reach out to them, and how did you get that kind of exposure? Because for someone who wants to talk politics, that's a heck of an exposure avenue.
Well, at the nucleus of all of this was a passion I had about reforming the calendar for the primaries. And this goes back to 2004 and well before Iowa of 2008. So at the very core of all of this was a passion I had for the subject material. So I had written a proposal on my own without knowing who I was going to give it to, who was going to read it. That kind of was the process that bore itself out. Eventually, people in Florida with floridadelegates.com read the proposal. They liked it. They adopted it. They put it on their website. At the same time here in D.C., I've lived here for about 8 years, and over time you make friends who are in politics or bloggers themselves or writers. And a couple of my friends were also at the Huffington Post, so I had sent them my proposal. They liked it. They forwarded it on to the editors at the Huffington Post, and they offered me a column.
You know, one of the things that we should probably point out, and we get asked this quite a bit by folks who haven't done a whole lot of media, is payment for that content. And, you know, I've never asked you this, so I may be completely wrong, but I would assume that you did not receive payment for your writing for the Huffington Post, but instead you received all the credibility and the exposure that goes along with that. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, that is not a paid position. And as far as – maybe I'm incorrect about this, but I don't believe the Huffington Post pays many of its journalists. Maybe it does on special occasions, but most of the bloggers you see over there are doing it gratis. And as was I. And for me, it was just an opportunity to have my voice be heard, to share my ideas, and to become a part of the conversation.
And, of course, you know, it led to some other, you know, really big media exposure. Like what? Tell us about some of the other things that you did in the media during that 2008 campaign.
Well, I guess it was June 7th hit, that's when the phone started ringing. A few of us had gotten together, like-minded people who had been supporters of one candidate and were no longer happy with the party. We banded together. We got to talking about ideas. We formed a .com called justsaynodeal.com. And once we had that address and we put it out there to the media, they jumped on it like sharks. They wanted to talk to us immediately. Within 12 hours of our creating the .com, we were getting phone calls from Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, ABC News Radio, ABC Online, PBS, the list was long, NPR, you name the media outlet, and, you know, from June until at least August, they wanted to talk to us.
And one of the first times I saw you on national television, it was a really fun and cool experience where your personality came through. You actually got to be a guest on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Indeed, that was one of the lighter-hearted moments, which at that point was rather welcome because everything had been very serious and dark and brooding and depressive. That one was one of the more fun interviews, yes.
And now you're based here in D.C. Did they take care of your travel expenses to get to New York for that appearance?
They did indeed. They flew us to New York. They put us in a very nice hotel. I want to say it was a W Hotel. I'm not sure which hotel it was, but it was a very nice hotel in a very nice part of town. So all of our needs were taken care of.
And when you do national media appearances in television, especially if you're asked to travel, although you're not given a payment, a per diem to travel, you do, in fact, as a general rule, receive travel expenses paid for, your hotel, your accommodations, occasionally meals. So it can be a great opportunity, if you're not familiar with New York City or Los Angeles, to get an opportunity to see one of those two cities. All right, so you do a lot of national media around the election. Then you come aboard with our firm shortly after the election. to utilize all these media contacts that you made during the election, and you're able to land a lot of our clients on national media. So you learned a lot, I'm sure, within the process of this. So let's talk about some of the things that you did learn that led you to this Fox and Friends appearance just last week. If you could boil it down to one thing in particular that you found after talking to hundreds of radio show producers, television producers, online journalists like the Huffington Post and print journalists, the number one thing these producers are looking for in a guest.
If I had to boil it down to one thing and one thing only, it would be information. They want to know what you know that they don't and their viewers do not know. And so kind of, as you know, to extend that further, they want information and they want it from an expert on the matter.
All right, fair enough. If you're just joining us, Will Bauer is our guest today on this very special guest match call, and we're talking about how to achieve thousands of dollars in free media exposure. You'll have an opportunity to send us your questions by hitting *2 on your phone. And also, you'll have an opportunity, if you like, to get this $1 trial offer for guestmatch.com right now for the first 10 days. Just $1 to be a part of Guestmatch. And we'll also give you a free opportunity with our media training a little bit later on in the call. Right now, this is all free, and we appreciate all the folks that are listening from all over the country, gosh, all over the world right now, to find out how this free media exposure works. So, Will, you say the number one thing these producers in the media are looking for is information. Do you think that a guest necessarily has to, be an expert in terms of having a PhD or being a doctorate of philosophy or a physician or an attorney to get this kind of national media exposure? When you say information, how much credentialing do they really need?
I would say not that much. When I say information, again, that's committing to one thing. I'd say more than that, or at least along with that information, they want passion and conviction. I'd say if there was a second thing they want, it would be controversy, might be a word for it, but not necessarily that dramatic. They want someone with an opinion, who's passionate about it, who's willing to discuss that material with them, either in agreement with them or in debate with them. So it doesn't always have to be, Dr. So-and-so coming on to talk about this scientific bit of knowledge or that. It's nothing like that. But they want you to have something to say, and they want you to say it with passion and conviction. And as well, when I say expertise, again, it's nothing credentialed as much as it is information that you know yourself, are comfortable with, and are willing and wanting to share.
We hear a lot from media outlets that contact us here in the office that, hey, you talk about that passion, that conviction. They love energetic guests. They want people that can wake them up. If you're surfing through the channels or you're going from left to right on your radio dial, you don't want a snooze fest. You want something that will make you stop on that channel and see what's going on. So they tell us they look for a lot of energy whenever you go on national media. Have you found that as well?
Oh, indeed. Energy. And they want people who are part of a conversation, who can listen as well as speak. They don't necessarily want someone to go on there and rant, but they want someone who cares about the subject matter, is interested in talking about it and hearing other ideas. Definitely an engaged conversation, I think, is the number one thing that a host wants to have with the person that he or she is speaking with.
When you did this most recent Fox and Friends morning show appearance, that was right before their Sunday morning talk shows, which are really heavily watched by political junkies all over the country. So it was great placement. They must have had good confidence in your abilities in order to put you on there. So let's talk about that appearance for just a minute.
Sure.
To walk us through it for folks that have never done this before. So how does that one come to be? You reached out to them with a media release, and then what happened?
Well, it was more someone else recommended me in this case. This, as you mentioned, it was during the 9 o'clock hour on Sunday morning on Fox News. And they had been covering, Fox and Friends had been covering a documentary called We Will Not Be Silenced. And it's all about caucus fraud during the 2008 primaries and caucuses. And they had done five of the episodes thus far, and they had one left. And so the theme of this issue was, all right, what's going to happen moving forward? And so they spoke with the film director, who was someone that I met during all of this, and she knew that I was particularly interested in what happens next, what are the parties going to do to change primaries and caucuses. So the host, her name's Allison, she asked the filmmaker, all right, who do you know who can talk about delegates and caucus fraud and reform and what the parties are doing? And I was the first person that came to this director's mind. So Fox News, after they got this recommendation, they called me and they said, ah, you come highly recommended. We see that you've been on with us before. We'd like to have you back. Are you? Can you come in this Sunday? And I said yes, and then the rest, you know, went from there.
Okay, so you get the phone call from them, and that's your first contact, and you're recommended. And by the way, that's how we love for our guest match clients to get into the Rolodex of the media so that you become their go-to person. You would become the go-to person for these voting irregularities in the election. And here we are 2 years later. People still want to talk to you about it. It was something that happened in the 9 o'clock hour, your appearance. So how early did you get to the studio, and how did you get there?
Well, usually the studios recommend that you get there a half an hour early. I've always been a fan of an hour early, or at least having the car pick you up an hour early. So they always offer to send a car, and here in D.C. that's very convenient because of parking and traffic and things like that. Even on Sunday morning, parking can be tricky. So I asked that the car picked me up an hour before airtime, and it's about a 10-minute drive, if that, to the studios. You get in, go through security, and then the first thing you do is hit the makeup room, and Fox News has a great makeup team, and they help put you at ease and kind of talk you through what's about to happen. Even though, you know, they're not necessarily media coaches themselves, they're kind of receptionists. They want you to feel good before going on air. So while they're putting on makeup, they'll comfort you and get you to laugh and giggle a little bit, which is definitely reassuring. And then you wait in the green room for the producer or the assistant producer to come and grab you and take you to the studio.
So first of all, the first thing that might surprise some of our listeners is they send car service for you. So you're being pampered a little bit in the back of this Lincoln Town Car to go to the studio. And then as a guy, you have to wear makeup?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. They put base and concealer on, and you can never tell when you're watching it because there's so many lights on you that it kind of washes out whatever, you know, makeup there is on you, but it makes a huge difference. I've done interviews with makeup and interviews without, and the difference is night and day. And that's one thing you always want to know before going is if you need to be camera ready or not. And I mean, usually for some of these larger networks, they'll have car service, they'll have makeup service, but it's definitely good to know if you need to be camera ready before going in or not.
Important to know, and I know that one of the Fox producers and one of the CNN producers that we talk with here in town a lot, the reason they tell us they send the car service, sure, it makes the on-air guest feel special, but more than anything else, it's to guarantee that they get the guest there on time, because time is money in the broadcasting business, so they want to ensure that you make it there in time for your appearance. So three things you got to know before going on national television. It sounds like one of them is being camera ready. What else?
Well, I'd say another thing is to know whether or not this is going to be a one-on-one interview or if you're going to be sharing the interview with other guests. I found that more than anything, the number one thing that would throw me off and would lead me to give a poor performance myself is if I go into an interview thinking that it was just going to be the host and myself and then find out that I'm going to be sharing a split screen with another guest. And no matter how in agreement you are with the other guest, maybe this guest is even your best friend, you have no points of contention with this other person, if you don't know, it will definitely throw you off because you'll have talking points, they'll have talking points, the host can pick and choose as to who's to talk in any given moment. It's very disconcerting. So you want to know if you're going to be the only guest or if you're going to be sharing that interview so that you can go in mentally prepared for what kind of interview is going to be given.
And many times when you share the interview, especially on these news programs, it may be somebody with an opposing viewpoint. So we always recommend to our clients that they do a little research on whoever you're sharing the interview with, if you can, to Google them ahead of time.
Well, sure. And again, I go back to what I said about whether the other person is your friend or your enemy. I would say that my least favorite interviews were when I was on with friends. Because when there is someone with an opposing point of view, you and that opposition create a dialogue where you're debating one another, and it's clean. You each make your points, and you can act and counteract, and there's a flow to it. But when it's someone that's on your side, sometimes you accidentally end up talking over one another or repeating one another, or you don't get to put your point in the way that they put the point in for you, and you don't get a chance to. So it almost doesn't matter so much if they are going to agree with you or disagree with you. It's just the fact that there's another person that's sharing the interview with you.
You know, one thing I think is important to clarify, and by the way, we're talking with Will Bauer about his appearances on national television, including the Fox and Friends morning show last week, and he's done a bunch of other network appearances, is that although you did a political topic, you've helped place dozens of our clients who are not political at all on these big national TV shows. So that's very doable, even if you're not a political person, correct?
Oh, correct. And the thing is, there's always a very small degree of separation between what is political and what is fill in the blank. I mean, basically, all of these news shows that I spoke with in 2008 and on, they talk about a lot of things. And, you know, almost all of our guests have something that can be tied to a news story of some sort. So, for example, when I came aboard with Allen Media Strategies, I had mostly political contacts and news contacts. And a lot of the clients at Allen Media Strategies, they would maybe talk about bullying, for example, or high school bullying, teenage bullying. Well, that's something that, you know, even though I was on a lot of political talk shows, those people also want to talk about issues related to bullying. So it was very easy to reach out to those contacts and say, hey, I'm working with this high school student, she is writing a book on bullying and how to combat it in high schools. And even though that's not about Democrats or Republicans, that's still something that's of high interest to them. And I'd say with many of our clients, there's always a way of taking what they do and tying it to the current events of the day in a way that they can make their stories relevant to what people are talking about in the media.
So it's all about topicality and relatability.
I would say those are two of the most important ingredients, yes. And so I always encourage clients and guests to pay attention to the news every day. Check out Google News, check out Yahoo News, check out the Drudge Report, watch your cable news or your evening primetime network news, and watch the whole half hour or hour and look for things that relate to your areas of strength and expertise. And let, you know, whoever you're working with, your coach or your manager, let them know, hey, I was watching the news last night and Brian Williams was talking about a program to help children read using dogs. You know, like, and I'm writing a book about how to get students to read using Facebook. You know, like, there's commonality there, and that if it's discussed in the right way, it can perpetuate what you want to get out there as well.
Makes perfect sense. Great common sense advice about how to achieve these thousands of dollars in media exposure. And if you're joining us late, we're talking with Will Bauer, who's one of our chief media bookers here at Guest Match and Allen Media Strategies. And also, Aaron Leisner joins us. He is our director of client services. And if folks have questions, now might be a good time to let them chime in. How do they do that, Aaron?
We have a question first from Victoria in Alabama. Victoria, if you hit *02, you can go ahead and ask your question now. Victoria in Alabama. While we're waiting for her, I'll go ahead and move on to one that we have here, Burke.
Hello.
Oh, hey, Victoria, is that you? Oh, we lost her. Okay. Well, you have a question from someone who instant messaged in?
Yes, from Bob in Cleveland. He wants to know who usually pays for travel expenses for media appearances, and what percentage of the time does the TV program pay for the travel expenses?
Hello.
It's a great question, Bob. The answer to your question is that if you are doing a national television appearance, generally speaking, they'll fly you to either New York or Los Angeles, wherever the show is being done live, and the network will take care of your airfare, your hotel, and your ground transportation while you're there, 100%. More and more, as budgets have been slashed in the recessionary economy, media outlets will look for other opportunities to do that interview with you there in your home market so that you don't have to travel. And many times you can do it from your local television station and they'll uplink it to their network affiliate. We had a client just yesterday, one of Will's clients, as a matter of fact, who did a couple of MSNBC interviews via Skype from their den, and didn't even have to leave their house. So, you know, all things considered, there are many times when you won't have to travel at all. And one of the great things we love about radio as well as print interviews is you do those on the telephone. You don't have to do anything except pick up the telephone and have a conversation with someone. So there's no travel involved. And unlike poor Will, you don't have to sit in the makeup chair. So that works out very well.
All right. Again, Victoria in Alabama, *02, and then you can ask your question.
Hello.
Hi. Is this Victoria?
Hello, Victoria.
Having a tough time getting to her there.
Seems that we can hear her and she can't hear us.
All right. Well, while we're waiting for Victoria's question, was there something that really surprised you when you did this most recent Fox and Friends appearance or any of your media appearances that you didn't expect?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think what surprised me the most on this last one. I guess what surprised me most with this last one is that even after having done this for 2 years, I still found myself shortly before the interview getting, I don't know if I'd use the word nervous or excited or both, but that even after 2 years, I still get the rush of adrenaline before the camera starts. And I guess I was surprised by that. Like literally 10 seconds before going on air, I checked my pulse just to, you know, do a check-in with myself. And it was, my heart was beating very quickly. So I just surprised myself that I had maintained that edge, that I wasn't so jaded that I could just, you know, go into a television studio nonchalantly and be all calm and cool about it.
And, you know, one of the great things about what we do with Guest Match and with Allen Media Strategies is we help people have fun. You know, not everyone has the opportunity to go on national television or on a big national radio show or a local radio show for that matter. There is an element of excitement and an element of show business along with the opportunity to, gosh, exponentially grow your business and have an opportunity to sell more books or get you out there as a speaker, capture some video or audio that will help you land your next speaking gig. So there is an opportunity to do that. And also, Will, I noticed that on your last appearance, you were in Washington, D.C., but the host of that clip, if I remember correctly, was in New York, right?
Correct, yes.
How does that work? So you go into a studio in Washington, D.C., paint that picture for our listeners. You're there, the host is not. How do you see her? How does she see you? How do you hear each other?
Well, that's another piece of information you definitely want before going into the studio, and that was one of the things that had surprised me the first time I went on Fox. I thought the host would be in D.C., and I got there to find out that they wouldn't be. So that surprised me a little as well. So you definitely want to find that out. Don't take that for granted, especially for the bigger shows. What happens is they take you to a room, and you're set in front of a camera by yourself, as after the production assistant sets you up with your earpiece and microphone. And you have the option of having a television screen on with you so you can see the television show as it's appearing across the country. I've always had them turn it off for a couple of reasons. First of all, there can be a delay where what's happening on the screen is happening a few seconds after what you're doing, and that throws a lot of people off. And also, it adds to an unnecessary tension. I think tension is great in terms of excitement and adrenaline, but I think that to a point it's unnecessary. You don't need to see what is happening on the television screen before you go on air. When all the chips are down and when the interview starts, really what it is a conversation between you and the host, and you just happen to be looking into a screen of glass while doing it. And that's what I always try to tell myself when these interviews are happening. I'm looking into a pane of glass, having a phone conversation with someone who's interested in what I have to say, and nothing else matters.
When that IFB is in your ear, do you hear anything else besides the conversation with the other person? Do you hear a director or a producer giving you instructions, or is it just the conversation with that on-air host?
Well, you'll hear what's happening on air on the show that you're about to go on, you're about to be seen on. Every now and then, a producer will chime in to say, Will, nice to see you. Glad you can make it. I'm just checking the earpiece. Can you hear me all right? All right, great. You can hear me. We can hear you. Everything's set. The host will be introducing you in about 2 minutes, and then it'll cut back to you being able to hear what is on air at that moment.
I have an interesting question that was just instant messaged in. How do you know what to wear on television?
Well, definitely ask. It doesn't hurt. And then if you have to, you know, aim up, aim for professional, aim for clean cut, aim for formal with the ability to dress down once you get there. But always ask. For example, well, I used to do most of my appearances with suit and tie, and that was good for like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock evening news hours. This last interview, it was a Sunday morning interview, which was much more casual. If you'll notice, from a lot of the coverage of the Gulf Coast, you'll see a lot of these news reporters wearing dark navy blue button-down Oxfords. And so that's what I chose to go with. And it worked on screen. It still looked like I cared about my appearance, but I wasn't all suited up like someone would be, say, for an evening news show. But it never hurts to ask the producer, and they'll steer you in the right direction.
All right, very good. Let's see if we can get our question in now. Victoria, are you on the line?
Yes.
Hi, what's your question for Will?
I would like him to repeat that sentence he said in the beginning. They want to know what you know, and can you state that clearly one more time?
Sure. About what hosts are looking for when
right.
they have a guest on?
Right. You said
well,
information, but you had a very nicely worded sentence. They want to know what you know.
Well, yeah, basically, I feel that they want to know what information that you have that they don't have and their audience doesn't have either.
Okay.
That's why you're there. You're there to share with them something new, or at least something that they haven't thought about for a while and that they want to think about again.
Okay.
So everyone in the guest seat is an expert of some sort. And I'm not, you know, like we were talking about, it's not about a matter of credentials. You aren't an expert on a thesis or a treatise or anything like that, but you're an expert of your own material. You're the one who knows what you have to say. You're the one that knows what you're passionate about, and you're the one that knows why you're there in the first place. Why does this host want you there? What do they want to talk to you about?
Right.
So it's about partaking in a conversation like you would with anyone else when someone asks you a question.
And I know you're experienced at this, but would you recommend somebody that's new to have some sort of checklist that we can tick off to remind ourselves, like ask the question about transportation or ask the question about clothing or camera-ready appearance, things like that?
Oh, I mean, it never hurts to be prepared. There's no reason not to be thorough. I mean, what I would say is within the 30 minutes leading up to the interview, put that checklist away because you're on your way, you know where you need to go, you've got the information in your head, and from those last 30 minutes on, it's about how you feel, what your mood is, what your energy levels are, and anticipation for the interview. But I would say in advance of that, by all means, keep a checklist. Ask yourself to remember, do I need makeup? Is there a car for me? Will I be sharing this interview with another guest? Will this be done via a remote studio, or will I be in the studio with the host in person? I think a checklist sounds like a great idea.
Okay, thank you.
Certainly.
Thanks, Victoria. You know, and Victoria mentioned something that probably we should mention right now that makes an awful lot of sense, and that is some sort of media training. If you've never done this before, it's a whole new skill set. It's nothing you can't learn. Everyone, I believe, can learn it. And we've taken some folks that are pretty darn shy about it and developed them into a fantastic talent to do national media or local media. But you absolutely want to get some training. And one of the opportunities to do that is with our upcoming media training event here in Washington, D.C. in October. It's called the Media Mastery Weekend. And you can take a look at it online at MediaMasteryWeekend.com. And for the folks who are listening to this call today, we actually have something special that you can sign up for, and we have a tuition discount. So if you sign up today at MediaMasteryWeekend.com for more information, absolutely free, everyone on this call will receive a free radio interview, a 15-minute radio interview that you can use as a coaching tool, and that costs nothing. And if you'd like to attend our event, the Media Mastery Weekend, you can receive a $500 discount towards your tuition by using the promo code TELESEMINAR. That's TELESEMINAR. in the promo code. And, of course, if you have any questions, you can reach out to us here at GuestMatch. Do we have another question, Aaron?
We have a few more questions just rolling in. Hussein in Pasadena says, the three things to know before getting on national TV. What is the third thing? Please repeat the three things.
All right. We'll take off. The three things you believe folks have to know before going on national TV.
Well, I'd say the three practical things, if we're talking about bread and butter practical issues that you need to know, again, would be, are you going to be the sole guest, or are you going to be sharing the interview with other guests? I think that's very important. I think you should know, when you're in the studio, are you going to be in that studio with the host in person, or are you going to be, will you be doing it via remote? You're in one city and the hosts are in another city. And again, camera readiness. Do you need to do anything to prepare your appearance before you get there, or will they be doing it? And all those things, you know, they're small pieces of information, but they affect how your mind will be going into this interview. You'll feel prepared. You'll know what you're going into. There won't be any surprises. Basically, those three things will take out a majority of the potential surprises that might be in front of you.
Now, let me turn that on its head, and the other side of the coin, some tips from your perspective of things not to do when you're doing a radio interview, a TV interview, or a print interview.
Well, I remember my very first television interview, they had put me in a swivel chair, and I'm someone who moves a lot all the time, and I didn't pay attention to my environment, so I'm in the swivel chair. And I wasn't realizing, well, here's another thing, that this is one of my interviews where I split the screen with another guest. I assumed that when they were talking to this guest that I wouldn't be on the screen. So there I am sitting in my chair, and whenever they were talking to the other guests, I would start swiveling in my chair. And, of course, all across the country, there I am, and it's very dramatic when you're in a swivel chair and the camera's right on you and you're not supposed to move to see someone swiveling in their chair. Now,
I've
it worked
never heard
out
that
because
story.
A lot of
That's
people.
Very funny.
Oh, yeah. It worked out because I wasn't supposed to be there as some great political figure. I was just a person who had something to talk about. It made me look natural, and, you know, a lot of people found it endearing. But if I had to do it over again, I still would not have done that. So definitely one thing you want to do is take your environment into account. Like I said earlier, by the time you get there, you know what you're wanting to talk about. You know essentially what the theme of the interview is. Don't neglect to take notice of your environment. What is the chair you're sitting in? How does your body feel? How do you feel in that moment? You don't want to overlook those things, or else you'll end up tripping up yourself. So definitely pay attention to your chair, for example. I wish I would have paid attention to my chair. You don't want to lose track of your own body movement. So that was one thing, you know, if I had to say just don't swivel, but that was my own personal experience. I'd say two other things to watch out for. One, don't talk to fill in the void. A lot of times hosts will ask you a question, and you'll answer it, but you'll feel that either the answer is too short, or that you have to give more, or that you need to keep talking until they ask you another question. Don't do that, because oftentimes you'll drive yourself into the weeds. If they ask a question and you're able to give an answer in one sentence or two sentences, feel free to do that. Now, if you already know where you want to take your response, if you want to use their question as a springboard for something else, by all means do that. But don't fill in that void with unnecessary noise. You don't need to talk through the whole interview. That's what they're there for. They're there to ask interview questions and get answers out of you. You don't have to do their job for them.
Good advice.
And I would say the third thing is, one thing that I hear a lot from hosts and producers, I really, with all of our clients, the only negative comment I sometimes hear is that sometimes guests are too eager to promote themselves. Most of the hosts that our guests speak with are seasoned pros. They know what they're doing, and they know that you're there to promote a project or a .com or a book. They know that that's a part of the reason why you're there. But a lot of people, when they're new to this, are eager to tell their audiences and their hosts over and over again about what product they have right off the bat and repeat themselves over and over again. If I had one do not It's do not overpromote yourself. Give the host a chance to do that for you. And the thing is, it looks 10 times better coming from the host anyway. I mean, the audiences out there, a lot of people have an ear for that. They know when someone is doing a hard sell on them in an interview. And when it comes from the host, when the host says, oh, by the way, you have a book coming out in November, and you have a website dedicated to this book. Tell us about that. I mean, oftentimes the thing is, those things will happen towards the end of the interview, and a guest will get paranoid or scared that they won't get to talk about their products. Give the host a chance to do that for you. What I will say, though, is on the flip side of that, before you go into an interview, make sure that host has all the information you want that host to have so that he can do these things. If the host doesn't know that you have a .com, or if the host doesn't know that you have a book, he can't do that for you. So definitely put all of your ducks in a row. Make sure that the host and the producers know what book you have coming out, know what your .com is, know how you can be contacted. And once they have that information, relax and give them a chance to promote you for you.
That's excellent advice, and it ties very much into what we teach our folks at our media training, our Media Mastery Weekend. I call them the three Asians: preparation, moderation, and concentration. And if you're listening to this call, you should jot those three things down. Those three strategies will help you in any of your free media interviews. Preparation, moderation, and concentration. Make sure you are prepared before the interview, and make sure your host is prepared with all the sample questions and background information. Moderation. Don't over-promote yourself, as Will says. It's not a pitch fest. You're not there for a late-night infomercial, so be very cautious about over-promoting. Remember, this is free media exposure. You're a guest in their house. And then concentration. Really concentrate your message down into the simple talking points, the sound bites that people can take away. And thanks, by the way, to Will for sharing all this very candidly with us today. This is information that many media trainers charge thousands and thousands of dollars for. And Will, by the way, will be on our faculty at Media Mastery Weekend in October here in Washington, D.C. And that website, again, if you'd like to visit, is MediaMasteryWeekend.com, and you can sign up for a free radio interview there. We've still got some time for questions. Aaron, do we have more questions on the line?
We do. And for everybody who has your hand raised or has sent a question in, I know we're running out of time. We have about 15 minutes left, but we're going to try to get to as many of these as we can. We have a question from Harold Mangum in Dallas, Texas. What about third-party media groups contacting you for placement with like a $3,500 minimum fee placement for five placements such as Champions Media?
You know, Harold is a gentleman's name, correct?
Correct.
Harold, I don't know that company at all, but I can tell you that none of these media outlets, the reputable media outlets with large audience, will charge for placement. We show you at our Media Mastery Weekend events and with these guest match teleseminars and other training materials how to get that media for free. And maybe it's my upbringing as a poor kid in rural West Virginia, but I'm all about getting as much as I can for free. So at first blush, I would tell you to try to steer away from that and to go with, a media or PR firm, if you do choose to go with a firm that doesn't promise you media coverage. No one can guarantee they're going to get you on Oprah or the Today Show. Great companies will do their best to set you up in front and really promote you well to increase your chances of being there. So I hope that answers your question. What else do we have there, Ann?
All right. Our next question comes from Pat Crosby in New York. How much more powerful would it be to do live video appearance versus doing an audio-only segment?
It's not more, and by the way, Will, if at any point you have a comment, jump in, or if you disagree, by all means, step in. It's not a case of more in terms of video versus audio or television versus radio. TV tends to be the sexier medium, and people tend to get a little bit more excited about their TV time. We, in fact, have gotten, in terms of sheer numbers of audience impressions, many, many more times the audience exposure utilizing radio, for example, and you can do a lot more radio interviews in a much shorter amount of time and without involving travel, because many of them are on the telephone, so you can actually touch many, many more people. I know for one of our clients just this week, we set up four or five different interviews for this young lady, but they were all with syndicated radio programs. And so at the end of those four interviews, she will have been in front of 60 million listeners. And that's just, you know, without leaving the comfort of her own home. So sometimes radio makes a lot more sense. At the end of the day, though, as a beginning media personality, we recommend you take it all. Go after as much as you can get, TV, radio, print, and online.
All right, we have another caller with a question from Fredericksburg, Virginia. You're on the air. Please let us know your name and ask your question.
This is J.A. Rodriguez, Jr. How are you?
Hey, J.A., how are you doing?
All right, not too bad. I've been on quite a few radio stations, 22 total, some national, some local. I've been on a TV show, and the question I have for you is more about how do you prepare, what's the best way to prepare talking points and making them related to the current news?
That's a great question, and I'd like to give that one to Will, our guest today. So preparing talking points and making them sort of topical and relatable to the news.
Well, I would say that the first thing to do would be to ask the host and or the producer for talking points. You know, say, what questions do you feel you might be asking me, and what answers would you like me to be contemplating between now and the interview? And oftentimes they want you to have that information. They want you to be prepared too. So there's no shame in saying, hey, I'm coming on your show tomorrow. Where would you like to go with this interview so that I can be better prepared for it? So I'd say definitely ask the host and or producer. Probably by the point that you have gotten the invitation to go on air, they'll know that you know what you're talking about. They'll know where your passions and your interests are. So those bases will already be covered, and you can hammer out the specifics with the host or the producer at that point.
J.A., one of the things that we always recommend to our clients is that you try to ascertain about how long that segment will be. Then you'll know how long to prepare your answers and how much to prepare for. And we always advise that you over-prepare, especially in the case of a radio show, they hold you over for an extra segment. So if they tell you it's a four-minute segment, always prepare at least 8 minutes worth of material.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for being on the call.
We have another question from Victoria in Alabama again. Victoria?
Hello?
Hey, Victoria. Go ahead and ask your question.
Oh, yes. We were talking about getting on national television, but I was listening to his journey. It seemed like he had a lot of local and online exposure before that, and it was some who he knew information. Is that the typical path that people take, or can you just be catapulted into a Fox and Friends type exposure?
Will, I'll let you speak to that, and then I'll have a comment as well.
Well, sure. I'd say for my specific path, it was very much about politics and political blogging. So that was a very natural path for me, and that was how I rose to get some of this attention. But for anyone who has something to say or a passion or an area of expertise, they will also have a path themselves. And it won't necessarily be about whether or not you have media contacts. In my own case, for example, these were blog contacts. I mean, I won't deny that I had some good contacts in getting me my column on the Huffington Post. But once I got to the Huffington Post, it was no longer about any media contacts. Fox News found me and had me come to them on that very first occasion.
Right. Okay.
And, Victoria, I can tell you from the experience of working with dozens of clients, both with our new guest match service and with our longtime clients with Allen Media Strategies, there are many, many instances where we've taken someone who has no media contact at all and even someone with no media training, and they go from zero to 60 immediately. We, you know, work them out with some local media interviews. We do some off-air training, and before you know it, they have their very first national TV or national radio interview. So you can absolutely be there very quickly without having any of those contacts. It's just all about making sure that you're ready for prime time. If you work with a reputable firm, they're already going to have those contacts for you.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening. As we have about 10 more minutes, before we get to the last of these questions, I do have one more thing that I want to make sure that we cover with you, Will, and that is qualities, now that you have not only done a bunch of these interviews yourself, but you've placed a bunch of people on TV and radio and in print and online. What are some of the qualities that you hear on a repeated basis that these media pros, these producers, these reporters tell you that they're really looking for in guests? What do they want? What do they crave?
Well, we've covered a few of them already. For example, you know, they want someone who knows what they know. They want someone with a passion and an expertise of their own material. I'd also say that they're looking for some element of humor. And I'm not saying that you have to be a joke maker or funny, or you don't have to make audiences laugh. But to go into an interview conversationally, to listen, to receive, to give, and to take, and to do, just to kind of be a natural conversationalist, as if you were with, you know, someone in a room right with you who is interested in what you have to say. So they're looking for some, you know, a bit of humor, a bit of a natural approach to the interview and to the conversation. And, of course, energy. You know, go into that with an enthusiasm. And if you find yourself nervous, great. That's not a bad thing. Nervousness is excitement, and excitement is energy. Don't try to deny that you're nervous. Don't try to run away from it. Embrace it, feel it, and put it into your interview as enthusiasm and energy and excitement. So I'd say that those are some of the key elements.
All right, that makes sense. And to help you get prepared for that, for the folks who are listening on the call today, we're actually giving away free 15-minute radio interviews. And we'll even send you the link that you can post on your website. Just go to MediaMasteryWeekend.com. That's MediaMasteryWeekend.com. Right there on the homepage, you'll see at the very top on the right a box where you just include your name and your email address and fill that out, and someone from our office will get back to you, and you'll have your very first media interview to post on Guest Match, which, by the way, is on sale, the trial offer for the beta test members, for just $1 for the first 10 days. So you'll have your very first radio interview out of the way, and you'll be able to use that as a training tool. All right, Aaron, any more questions from our listeners?
Yes, a few more questions. Bob in Cleveland wants to know, he's going to be one of three speakers on a President's Day-themed cruise in February. If he's sending a press release out to the media, what would you include in this press release, and also who would you target for the press release?
Well, Bob, one of the things that I would do is look at the markets that cruise is likely to draw from, and target those local media markets. Also, you know, get an idea about, you know, what the theme of the cruise is, and look for industries within that you can target. Within, you know, the targeting that we do for our clients, it's not necessarily these big national media outlets that you look to. It sometimes is industry-specific targets that get a really big bang for their buck. For example, we have a client who is in the restaurant business, and he did a lot of restaurant industry-specific magazines and publications around a release we sent out from him, where he talked about the effect on that industry of the Gulf oil spill. And that was fantastic, well-targeted exposure for him. So depending on what that President's Day cruise is all about, look for the markets that cruise ship is going to draw from, and also look for the industries that may be specific to that speaking event. And I would go after those guys first.
We have a tip, actually, from Eileen Roth in Scottsdale. Just in case we didn't mention it, you're going to also want to know how much time each interview or expects to have you on, for instance, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, because then you can really mold what you want to talk about and make sure you hit all your key points. So thank you, Eileen, for pointing that out. And a question from Victoria Ashford in Helena. How easy is it to get on national media outlets? Isn't it who you know or who knows you, like Will described in his journey, more than anything else?
Hey, Victoria, I would say no. It has nothing to do with it. It really doesn't. Will is an example of somebody who had, some sort of secondary and tertiary contacts, but he had to get those first. You know, Will, you, as you said on the call, didn't grow up here. You moved here. You met a couple of people and wound up doing the Huffington Post. But after that, it's a whole lot of, and again, step in and correct me if I'm wrong, it's a whole lot of, hustling and blood, sweat, and tears of sending out a lot of emails and making a lot of phone calls to get that media exposure. You know, frankly, that's what we do a whole lot of. We pester these guys until they cry uncle, and then they let our clients on the air. With Guest Match, that's an opportunity for the media to actually come to you and find you to put you on the air. Agree or disagree, Will?
No, I completely agree. I mean, at the end of the day, no one does any of this by themselves. And there will be people who will help you along the way. The question is, who? Some people might already have contacts in place, but the majority of people do not. But as long as they have people who can help them, who can get them contacts, who can get them exposure, a lot of that work can be done in multiple ways.
That's right. You know, no one, Victoria, will find you in a vacuum, of course. If you don't do anything, then the chances of your phone ringing are slim to none. But if you put yourself out there, for example, on Guest Match, or if you send emails and media alerts and press releases to media contacts, and by the way, all of their addresses are found online these days, then by all means, go after them. One thing that we learned just earlier this week when placing a media client in a television market in the southern U.S. is that when we were reaching out to producers at all the TV stations in that particular market, at every one of the network affiliates, we found out that if you send the email to producers at and then list the call letters for that television station, every producer and every on-camera talent in that television station receive the email. So it's a whole lot of you know, both outbound marketing, putting yourself out there through services like Guest Match.
That's it. That's all of our questions.
All right. Very good. I promised we would try to get you out of here on time, and we're just about to do that. Before we leave, a couple of quick notes. One, with Guest Match, there is a $1 trial offer. And that's $1 for the first 10 days. Take advantage of that at guestmatch.com. And also, a free 15-minute radio interview is yours for the asking by logging on to MediaMasteryWeekend.com. That's MediaMasteryWeekend.com. Give us your name and email address, and someone from the office will contact you and schedule that free interview with you. And I want to say a very special thanks to our guest, Will Bauer, who not only has done Fox and Friends and many other national television radio shows, but also a whole bunch of placement for our Allen Media Strategies and Guest Match clients with media outlets all over the country. So thank you, Will.
To get that
thank you for having me,
$1 trial also, go to guestmatch.com/trial.
guestmatch.com/trial for the $1 trial offer as we roll out the service, which a whole bunch of folks are receiving a whole bunch of free media with. Will, any closing comments from you before we wrap up?
No, just that this was a pleasure, and it's great to talk with you again, Burke.
Thanks, Will. Thanks for all you do, and thanks for being so candid to share these very specific details about your media journey. And remember, the next time you go on TV, don't swivel and don't squirm, okay?
I won't swivel. Thank you kindly.
Thanks, everyone, for listening all over North America to the call today. On behalf of Aaron Leisner, our Director of Client Services, I'm Burke Allen at Guest Match Central. Thanks for listening, and remember to visit guestmatch.com and MediaMasteryWeekend.com. Bye, everybody.